is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Alison Fedurka of the Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I recommend. The discussion of Panama. The Trump administration has made Panama a major debating point around the world. Why? Because the allegation by the Trump administration is that Panama is not secure, that the Panama Canal is at risk, that the Panama Canal is bending to the reach of the People's Republic of China. Reviewing how we got here, I'll start with the drought of 2023 that brought the level in the locks to an unattractive low, meaning it was difficult to get the big container ships through without offloading, taking it across the isthmus on a railroad and then reloading the same ships. That was trouble enough. However, then we had the story of the two ports on either side owned by a company out of Hong Kong that has reason to be viewed as persuaded by the Chinese Communist Party. And when there was a bid made for those two landing ports on either side of the canal, there was an interruption by the Chinese Communist Party, despite the fact that there was money on the table from a large equity firm. In addition to all this, there's the labor dispute of the copper mine. There are the disputes about Social Security and retirement. And there's just generally an unhappiness in Panama. Not to leave out the Darien Gap that was at one time a major conduit for undocumented workers to reach America over land by Central America, crossing through the jungle of Panama into the Pan-American Highway North. Reason to believe that the Biden administration did not look with disfavor on that phenomenon. That's up to date enough, and I come to Alison for help on the recent turn in Panamanian affairs. Alison, a very good evening to you. The last time I checked in, Secretary of State Rubio, in his first overseas visit right away after he was confirmed, I believe that he went to Panama City, and since then there were other members of the cabinet, including the Secretary of Defense, visiting Panama City, sitting with the Molino government. Do we know what the result of those meetings is today or what it's meant to represent? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So we have an idea of what they've talked about and the agreements that they are pushing towards. Many of those talks surrounded security issues, specifically the U.S. wanting to have physical guarantees for the security of the Panama Canal. This included tentative discussions and agreements over increased security cooperation that would involve the U.S. military and training inside of Panama, which has been very controversial among the Panamanian public. They've also discussed things such as the port deals that you have referenced already in terms of changing ownership to companies that are not linked strongly to China. And I also suspect they discussed Panama Canal tariffs, especially in terms of U.S. ships passing through. I think the U.S. wants to get some sort of discount. I don't think they're going to get it. And then also the question of neutrality of the canal passage for foreign vessels. We've seen Panama make moves such as restricting passage for Iranian vessels linked to U.S. sanctions. So a lot of items related to the passage of the canal, the operations surrounding the canal, and the physical security of the canal.
Is the opinion in Washington that the Panama Canal itself is at risk in the event of conflict in the Pacific? Do they imagine it being shut down or damaged by bad actors?
I think that is one of those long-term risks that they want to preemptively prevent. At this point, I don't think there's any country, or at least in the case of China, is not capable of putting some sort of offensive militarily to shut down the canal. The drought you spoke of was a much bigger threat to canal passage than any sort of military action at this time. But, you know, it's a lot easier to prevent something like that, or the conditions taking place early on, than it is to wait for it to be too late.
President Mulino, much in the news as the controversy began with the Trump administration's inauguration, disposed towards standing up for independence and not in any fashion bending a knee to the United States. Has that continued as Mulino maintained his resistance?
Yes, I would actually say that initially he was pretty conciliatory to the United States, and then the building pressure domestically made him stand up a little bit more than he was used to in terms of those sort of things. So he is now still much more against any type of U.S. hierarchy in that regard, and also thinking of the Panamanian interests.
Has he, as the president, Mulino, accepted any change in status of the U.S. in the Canal Zone? Do we have troops there? Are there troops training there? Is there a military presence for the U.S.?
They are still discussing the possibility and likelihood of U.S. military training security forces in Panama. That is extremely controversial and not something that Mulino can, readily agree to. And a lot of the Panamanians remember the U.S. presence. They're very proud that the U.S. no longer has military installations controlling the canal. And that's not something that they're going to easily go back to.
Now we come to the generational divide you identify in your article. What is it? What does it look like?
So basically what we're talking about is the millennial generation and those younger. And it marks the divide is the demarcation in Panamanian history of when the country essentially gained full control of the canal, meaning they got full control of their entire sovereign territory. This fundamentally changed how Panama was able to interact with the United States. And the United States no longer had control over Panamanian territory. There was still a strong security relationship, but it was the first time in Panamanian history where they controlled all of their territory. This also has a more pragmatic view of the United States, where they view the United States as a partner, as an actor, but it is not the be-all, end-all relationship that previous generations attributed to Washington.
Are they open to partnership with China in specific?
I think they are open to diversified relations to any country. I think China... they're open to with finances, they're open to with investment. We've also seen them make a lot of moves towards places like India. And they're open towards, I think, relationships with countries that want to develop the economy beyond the canal, in addition to just focusing on the canal.
You identify protests over several years now, different drivers for protests, most importantly, the one about the copper mine. Are these economic issues all mixed up with the security story, or is this strictly forward for the young people? It's about jobs, it's about income, it's about prosperity. How do they see it?
So initially, it did start more as just economic in nature in terms of with the copper mines, control over national territory, environmental issues, things like that. More recently, if you look at 2024, the economic activity in Panama slowed dramatically to what the people were used to in previous years. So that made an acute awareness of economic difficulty among many of the workers. And that has now transcended into general discontent over some of the reforms they want to make to Social Security, quality of life, salaries, things like that, which were previously not something that really rose to the forefront of domestic issues. That said, when you have that taking place simultaneously with all of the rhetoric that is coming out of Washington towards Panama and this need to stand up for oneself from the Panamanian perspective, they get very closely linked. And so now there is an anti-U.S. sentiment and tone undertone to all of these protests because it is very difficult to separate the canal from the economy in Panama, and if the U.S. is making everything about the canal and showing interest in it, you can't really separate the two issues anymore.
And the younger generation, do they voice opinions about security, such as the purchase of those two ports by an American equity firm? Does the public poll on that? Do the young people speak of that?
I have have not specifically read any polls on that. So I can't say for certainty the answer to that question. In general, they tend to be a very pragmatic, pro-business generation. And so I don't think they would necessarily oppose one way or another the transactions, and they would be more concerned about, do the operations continue? Does the economic engine continue at its current level of performance rather than who owns it, but rather will the effects be felt negatively?
My information last time I checked in is that the Chinese are building a great big new bridge in Panama City to bridge the opening, the isthmus. And that everybody knows it's a Chinese bridge. It's Chinese workers. They're also building down at the Gap. I believe they're building bridges maybe to close the Pan-American Highway. There's reason to believe there's Chinese money elsewhere, perhaps Belt and Road, perhaps independent investment. Is that popular? Is that talked about in Panama City?
It is impossible not to see it in Panama City. There is a very strong Chinese economic presence and financial presence in the entire country, especially in Panama City. So there's no illusions about large injections of cash coming into the country from Beijing, either directly or through related companies.
I'm speaking to Alison Federica of the Geopolitical Futures, writing about Panama. That's as up to date as we can get, given the unknowns. However, there's reason to believe the Panamanian alienation is being imitated or followed or spontaneously in other countries when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, truckie.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.